Welcome to the NICU Alumni Podcast. Your baby has graduated from the NICU and you're finally home. Now what? We know that the end of the NICU journey is the start of a whole new experience. And so we're dedicated to supporting families as they navigate life after the NICU. I'm your host, Andrea, and we're so glad you're here. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NICU Alumni Podcast. Today, we have the pleasure of interviewing Sarah Harden. Sarah is originally from Connecticut and moved to Florida in 2001 to attend the University of Miami. She became a nurse in 2005 and has been working in the NICU ever since. The NICU she works at is a 40-bed level 3 unit in Miami. She serves as the charge nurse as well as the clinical coordinator. Sarah is married and has two daughters, ages 5 and 6. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Oh my goodness, thank you for being on. This is our first time interviewing a NICU nurse. So, I mean, you're familiar.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's an honor. And I mean, everyone listening is familiar with NICU nurses, that they probably become like a second family to them, you know, while their kiddo is in the NICU. So, you know, I know we all hold NICU nurses dearly in our hearts. So it's really great to have you on.
Well, thank you. And I know I've seen a lot of those relationships start and flourish and continue after the families leave. I see a lot of nurses always attending the birthdays and everything like that.
Yeah.
Keeping in close contact.
I know. Some of the nurses at the unit my daughters were born at, even one of them was like a godmother to one of her NICU babies.
Well, I've definitely seen that too. We've had a lot of baptisms actually in the NICU, and they always pick some people close to step in as godparents, and they usually pick the nurses.
Yeah, it's amazing. The relationships really become quite strong. So thank you so much for being here.
Anytime.
So I wanted to start with just if you could briefly tell us about your experience as a NICU nurse, your connection to the NICU, what drew you to the NICU, and how did you end up working with NICU families?
So I started nursing. My mom is actually a nurse and some aunts and a lot of people in the medical field. So when I was applying for colleges, I made sure they had a nursing program. I wasn't sure which specialty I wanted to go into. But then after I went to school and graduated and was looking for jobs, a lot of NICU positions, I was kind of drawn in that direction. And once I did some tours and clinicals and everything, then I knew that NICU was what I wanted to do. Thank you. I started in 2005 just as a regular, you know, bedside nurse, and then kind of stepped up into the charge nurse position, and now I'm the clinical coordinator. So on the shifts that I work, I am in charge of the patients, the families, the nurses, and everything that goes on.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, what does being a clinical coordinator entail? What does that mean?
It's just the shifts that I'm there. There's myself and one other nurse that share the position. So I do 3 days and she does 3 days. And then there's kind of a charge relief person on that seventh day, but we're in charge. Everything that the questions that the nurses have, if the doctors aren't around, comes through us. We kind of triage problems, troubleshoot there, be there to assist. I mean, I'm still 100% hands-on bedside IVs, blood cultures, procedures, bedside surgeries. I'm kind of present for everything that goes on, everything that happens there.
Yeah. And then you still have
a lot of responsibility.
Oh yeah. I mean, that does sound like a lot. And then you still have your own, babies that you are, working with on that shift too, or.
So I do not have my own assignment.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
Gotcha.
There are days that I will overlap with the other clinical coordinator and I'll take my own assignment, which I still love.
Yeah, I'm sure.
To kind of have that closer bond with the families. But I've seen families and patients come in, just whether they come in from the ER for hyperbilly and they're there for 2 or 3 days, or the chronic ones that, or they come in as, you know, the X23, X24 weekers and stay with us for a long time. You build a bond a lot of times with the families because they're there, you know, and you go through all these emotions with them. So even if you can't help it, you have to, you know, you have an emotional connection with everybody.
Yeah. And I know
for what they're going through.
And I know on my side of it, I felt that there were connections with some of the nurses, you know, so I assume that, you know, as you're there and in your experience and as you see families for a while, like you just can't help it, like to bond with them and to care so much for the baby and how the baby's doing and cheer them on, cheer the baby on.
Yeah, they're their biggest cheerleaders, that's for sure.
And being the clinical coordinator and kind of being pulled into all the different facets that could be going on the floor in a given any given day, that sounds like it is exciting, but also could get overwhelming. Like it's a lot of things to be mindful of.
It is busy. Yes, you definitely have to multitask. Because you can, if you just have your own assignment of anywhere from, 1 to 4 patients, your day could be perfectly fine as the nurse of the assignment, but somewhere else in the unit, something else crazy is going on. So I'm a part of everything that happens. So my day's usually crazy every day.
Anything that is escalating, then you're going to be there. And being in a NICU, I'm sure a lot of things escalate.
Always, yes. And we're not a delivery hospital per se, so any baby we get, we don't have a normal like newborn nursery, and we don't really have babies that are just to kind of grow. It's usually other hospitals can't handle the baby, or they need a second opinion or a second some sort of interdisciplinary team that they don't have to be able to get involved.
They
So the
transfer.
babies we get are usually pretty sick.
I feel like if my daughters had been born in Miami, they probably would have gotten transferred there. Because I was at a delivery hospital in New York, but then it was a level 4 NICU as well. So actually, a lot of babies would get transferred there too,
Would get transferred there too, yeah.
from the area, from the tri-state area. Let's see. I also wanted to know, I mean, we kind of talked about this before, but like a big reason why I started NICU Alumni is to really play off of that word alumni. When babies are discharged from the NICU, they're called NICU grads, and it's a huge milestone to celebrate. And so then as a graduate, you're in an alumni network. And so I just kind of played off of that with the name NICU Alumni to really focus on that after time, And so just from your perspective, you're there all the way until they go through those elevator doors and leave. We'd love to kind of hear from you about what would you recommend for someone that's having a NICU experience right now before the leaving, but thinking about that time after. What would you recommend, or what would you?
So in the NICU, even from I think the very beginning, I think the parents kind of forget about themselves and how important it is to still take care of yourself. As a mom myself, I know a lot of times there's things that go wrong with the kids, and there's a lot of guilt associated with everything, even when it's 100% not your fault. I think as parents, we kind of take that responsibility. So after being there for so long, we did notice a trend in the parents just. Especially with COVID and not being able to have your family there and the support and think we only are allow parents and grandparents in the units specifically. You can't even have if you have a sister that flew down from New York, they're not even allowed to visit. So I know that can be hard. So we noticed a certain need for these parents to kind of either vent or just take some time for themselves. So we started a group, two other nurses and myself, called the Parent Positivity Group. And we meet once a week and we do activities. And I also learned that adults like to kind of act like children. So we do coloring, we do painting and things like
I
that.
love
And then
it.
afterwards, we have a little, a little thing of how you felt when you came in and how you felt after. We've also had some music therapists and occupational therapists there. So we make a point to just kind of handle the parents and their emotions that day. And it's not so much a kumbaya, like, hi, my name is, my daughter or my son is, I'm here because, and for this long. It's kind of literally just a focus on the parents. So while you are there in the NICU, while you're caring for the baby, and a lot of times if the babies are so sick, there's not that much for the parents to do. Get stuck in this cycle of sometimes just angry and trying to figure out what to do with all of the emotions. So I think remembering to take time for yourself is really important. And with that group, a lot of friendships have formed and relationships, and having the support, I think, is the next biggest thing so that you have someone to go to, like when you don't have the best day or when you have a good day to share, when you reach a milestone or things like that. So these parents, who is, we have people that come from 15 minutes away, we have people that fly in from the islands that come from 4 hours away. So you are allowed to spend the night in our unit. There are beds, which I think can be a blessing and a curse. Blessing because you can be there when you need to be, but a curse in the sense that then it kind of makes you feel guilty if you leave because you are allowed to stay. And I think giving up control as a parent is very hard, but knowing that they're in good hands and there are people there that can, care for them and take care of them and do the things they need, even if sometimes from the parent's point of view, it's not what you think. It's not easy on the emotions to see some of the things that are that these babies go through.
Not at all.
So I think having a support team, taking care of yourself, and keeping track. We always hand out like a positivity journal of tracking the good days, the good moments, when you do hit a milestone or something happens, that you can keep those memories in one place. So when you have a bad day, you can go back and look through that and remind yourself that you are making forward progress, even if some days it seems like you're not.
Yeah, because it is like a cliche to say it, but people, it's true. It's like it could be one step forward, two steps back,
The roller
and the
coaster,
roller
yes, the
coaster.
NICU roller coaster. You're going up, 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 and all of a sudden you just go down, and it takes a long time to get back up to where you were.
And that's really hard. And sometimes all you're thinking about is like, when can we leave? I can't wait to get out of here. When can I take my baby home? And then if you have one of those days where it's a step back or it's a dip, you're like thinking two things at once, like, oh my goodness, are they going to get better? What do we need to do to fix this? Okay, and now did this just put me back a few days of when I was going to get to go home? Like you're kind of wanting your baby to be stabilized, but then also like, and now did this just mess up what I had in my hopes of coming home at a certain time? And it's a struggle to think about.
Yes, there's no plan, and everyone's favorite question is when can we go home? All the time, at any point in their stay, when can we go home? And if they have to remember, everybody has, even if two babies come in with the same diagnosis, every baby has their own journey, and you just have to be there to follow it and keep headed in the right direction.
When you were talking about the group that you put together, I think that's so helpful. I didn't have anything like that in the NICU when my daughters were born, but I definitely did journal a lot. I blogged a lot because we lived in New York City, but almost our whole family is in South Florida. So they would ask us for updates, and it would become emotionally draining to kind of repeat the update over and over again. So my husband and I started to write out daily updates on an email, and then it turned into a blog. And that was actually really helpful for us. It was like journaling, us writing those emails each day. Like sometimes.
And you can think about what you're going through and just deal with those emotions. And it's okay to cry and it's okay to be happy. And a lot of people laugh about things that are not funny, but that's how people deal with things. And I think if you're writing them down, it kind of helps you also see it, not from another perspective, but to go through it again when your emotions aren't so strong in the moment, that it definitely
Or even
helps.
process remnant emotions is what I guess what I'm trying to say. Like in that moment, you might go into a shock of whatever you're hearing or seeing your baby go through, and you actually don't have the emotions in the moment. So then later on, writing them out, it could be the time when you're letting it and releasing it. There would be times when, maybe my husband would be the one that wrote it, and then he'd be like, okay, I'm ready for you to take a look. And then he'd be bawling, and then I'd read it, and then I'd be bawling, and then we'd both, ooh, okay, and send it out to family, and it would really help us process each day, whatever
Yeah,
was
I
in
agree.
front of us. You mentioned that you had like positivity journals. Did you guys create a journal, or do you have you just kind of give a blank journal?
It's just a blank journal. And then sometimes, depending on the activity we do, we'll do adult coloring pages, or we have like these positive affirmations, or I know it all sounds very, cliche, but
No.
sometimes you just need to sit down and do something like that and get your mind on something
Yeah, you
else.
don't know what
And at
else to
the end of the
do.
class, yeah, the end of the class, we have little milestone cards, and it could be, oh, I'm tube free today, or I'm took my first bottle, things like that. And then the card that most people end up taking is today nothing happened, and in the NICU that's a good day, because not every day is going to be something good or bad, and it's a long, you have to be very patient.
I love that. I love that. And I don't think it sounds like cliche or anything because in the NICU, really the parents are looking to the nurses and the staff to help you think how to even navigate what you're going through. And if a nurse tells you, "Hey, come sit here in color," you'll sit in color. You'll do what they say because you listen to everything they say, you know?
Here we even put the coloring stuff out one day, and I came back to clean it up, and someone had organized all the colored pencils. There's probably 300 of them into different colors and by shades. And for somebody, that kind of little outlet was what they needed to deal with whatever they're going through at that moment, having something to focus on to get their mind off. Like little things you normally don't even think about. So while you're in there and you're stuck in the NICU and you're going back and forth with the baby, just breathe.
Absolutely.
There's a lot that's going on, yeah.
And so and then kind of thinking about after the NICU, I know you've been doing this since 2005, right? And
A long time.
yeah, and so you've seen lots of families. And maybe even with, maybe you've even followed up with some, I don't know, but just kind of any helpful piece of advice for the NICU alumni, you know, for after the NICU, you know, any, if, even if you have any resources or materials or tools that you can think of, we would link to it, but you don't have to. Just, you know, any suggestions for families as they leave or after they've left.
I think just kind of stay positive and don't compare your situation to other people's situations. I think going on each day, celebrating each day, whether the baby was very sick or it was just a quick stay in the NICU, I think that the people who have gone through this and shared similar stories and situations are going to be your biggest support. So to keep those lines open, and the resources. We don't necessarily, as the hospital, I mean, we have a telehealth line that they can communicate with. Once the patient is discharged, our discharge coordinator, and we do have the telehealth nurse, will call and do some follow-ups. But I mean, eventually, all of that kind of that stuff stops, and the family support that everyone's kind of in your business when you first get home and everyone's there, that stuff tends to slow down too. So just, I think more emotionally, just be strong, and every situation's different. Remember your take care of yourself, and I think sharing your story is very important because it helps other people get through their days as well. So the most of the patients that I keep in touch with is through social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram, and they'll post. Even one of the moms posts all the time. She's like, "Okay, it's time for the trach change," and she'll post the video of doing things like that, so that it's not such a scary thing for the parents once they go home. Because in the hospital, when that's done, it's a doctor, it's a nurse, it's a respiratory therapist, it's a team of people, and at home, it's only you. So I think for other parents that are about to go through that, maybe joining these, like listening to the podcast, I think it's great, or online social media support groups where you can actually see these things instead of reading them, and then maybe
As
they don't seem
foreign.
so scary. Yeah. But it just becomes part of your normal routine, your regular life, and don't hold back. You can still take a baby with a trach in the G tube to the beach and to the park and everything like that. So I think be aware of, what other people have been through and use it to help you, and staying in touch, using your support systems.
And what do
And
you,
I'll definitely try to look some up some resources.
sure. And what do you think too? I mean, when people are leaving the NICU, I know for me, you know, I did not want to be this like super hyper vigilant parent, but then I had two daughters that were each born in the NICU and had medical complications and had, you know, at risk immune systems, especially at the beginning. And so that is what I became. And we lived in New York City. So it was kind of like, okay, shoes off when you come into the apartment. Wash hands with soap. Okay, we have hand sanitizer over here. If you need a refresh, clean your hands, you know. And oh, did you wash your hands? You know, like really policing that. And that was not the vibe I wanted to create and the culture I wanted our family to be like, but it needed to be like that at the beginning, you know, especially. And so I don't know, what do you suggest for that? Like, how do we have a balance? And especially now in a COVID world, you know? How do
COVID
we
world, yeah.
have.
Well, don't be afraid to say no. If people want to come over and see the baby and you're not ready for that, then don't be afraid to say no. I mean, we have a lot of options these days with social media that you can, like you said, start a blog or send pictures, post videos, and don't feel guilty about protecting your child. But then you also want to give them a life as well and not have them live in this little bubble. So, like I said, the park, the beach, outdoor things like that, they don't always have to be with a group, but just you, a little memory, an outing with the family, whether it be mom, dad, brothers, sisters, but not, the 20 family deep, grandmas, grandpas, what, just small family gatherings, and maybe outside is better. But you want them to also have life experiences and not be gypped of everything just for being different per se.
And maybe, and I'm just thinking about this as we're chatting, but like maybe at first, since we are in this, you know, we've had the COVID experience and everybody has lived through having to wear a mask, you know, not saying to dictate that and like say anyone coming around my baby has to wear a mask, but maybe because it wouldn't be completely out of the norm, it could be something a family member asks. Like you
Yep,
could say,
that's
hey, why are
definitely an
you holding the
option.
baby these first few
Make
weeks
sure to
that we
wear a
just got
mask.
home? Could do you mind wearing a mask? I don't know. I
Yeah,
have
that's a
no
great
idea. I'm
option.
just kind of
And don't
thinking.
be afraid to say things like that, because to someone else it might seem abnormal, but no one else is going to be dealing with the repercussions of something that someone else gave your baby. So I think you're very validated in asking someone to do those kinds of things.
I think that's super encouraging. And I love just what you were saying about talking about things, normalizing things, whatever your experience is that you're going through during the NICU and after the NICU, because holding it in, it really does make you feel even more isolated. You might need to isolate already physically because of that, like, weaker immune system. And so then isolating physically plus then isolating emotionally, all of that compounds and really weighs on mental health. And so I think that's really, really sound advice of just being able to talk to people, journal, voice it out
And
loud.
while you're talking, you'd be surprised with how many people are feeling the same way and you can relate to. And that feeling of not being alone and having someone to share those feelings with is huge, because you feel like the weight of the world on your shoulders just waking up in the NICU. If you're sleeping there, you wake up and you're like, again, and you
The
hear the constant
beeps.
beeps and the monitors and the people in and out and everyone else touching your baby and your baby's crying. And for me, I mean, I put IVs in babies all the time. They cry. I had my daughter in the hospital. She was crying a little bit. I'm like, okay, stop, stop, just stop. Like, I couldn't, as a mom, I don't know how the NICU moms do it. It's a different kind of breed of people. But to know that, I mean, the support is out there and you can find it in the other parents and the nurses, especially us that have been there a long time, have seen families go through crazy things. So even just to talk to the nurse, or I know sometimes what the nurses will be like, oh, this mom kept me in there forever, but she's here from somewhere without any support. Sometimes people just want to talk. They just
Just
want
need
to,
to talk.
how's your day? What's going on? You can't just sit in a room all day locked up, surrounded by sometimes negative things. So
And I think
just
that's,
remember to keep your emotions out.
don't hold them in.
Let them out.
And I think another good thing that you just mentioned was like asking the nurses because you, like we had talked about, you form relationships with families that have left. So maybe a parent doesn't know who they could talk to that might be able to relate, but you know, they could ask their nurses, hey, we're getting ready to go. We're going to be discharged. And I'm feeling like I don't have anyone I can talk to. Maybe the hospital they're at does not have like a positive parenting group, like you mentioned, where they've already started to talk to other parents there. Like you could, they a parent could ask their nurse, "Do you know any family that I could reach out to? Could
Yes,
you
and put
put
them
me
in
in touch with
contact with
someone?"
somebody. We've done that before. No, we've
And
absolutely
I've
done
had that
that.
happen.
And for, oh,
Like people have
but you
former,
reached out to you.
former nurses or therapists have reached out, "Hey, can I put this parent in touch with you?" And of course, you know, so that's been asked of me, but I didn't ask it. Back then, I didn't say to the nurse, "Is there a family that you would recommend I touch base with?" And so I think that's a good question to ask too.
Yeah, I'm sure there's always someone out there who's willing to talk and share their story and just make it more normal. And then
Exactly.
NICU Awareness Month, we always have the window of the parent lounge. We put all the patients that have, grad the new NICU, the NICU grads, and put them up on the window with a picture of them when they were first admitted and where they are now.
It's so
And one of them was a
empowering.
23-weeker that had a trach and a G-tube, and now she's probably 10 years old at this point. And for people that are going through it at that moment to see, what could be ahead of them, and I think it's inspiring. And then a lot of times they'll say, "Oh, and they're still here," and then we end up giving them the parents' information so that they can, if they have questions, they can talk to with the parents' permission, of course.
If people are willing, I think that's super helpful. I love that you guys do
And we
that.
keep in touch with them, and then we do every year they send us a new picture. So for each patient that's up there, we may have, I know we have one kid who's got all the way from when he was admitted all the way through his 8th birthday.
I love
Eight
it.
pictures of him, and just as he's growing, and dialysis is a big one too. So we have patients on dialysis, and the parents are freaked out when it first started, and you get the PD cath in, and then we post a picture up there at that random moment, and now it's the kid that's 7 years old and is doing okay, but then the original picture of them, they were really sick. So it offers hope, which I think is good for those parents.
And that it's really they can see that they are not the only ones going through it, and they can see on the other side a little bit of a forecast of what it could.
Light at the end of the tunnel, yeah.
Man, I love that. I love that you guys do that.
We try to provide as much, positive things around there as we can for the parents.
I love that. And it's true because your patient is the baby, but you have to think about the family because
No, it plays a huge part.
So
Absolutely.
that's cool that you do that. Well, Sarah, as we wrap up, I just wanted to give you the chance if there's anything else that you've thought of that you might want to mention or give you any like last parting words.
Just stay strong, I guess. I mean, like I said, I don't know how NICU moms do it and dads, but it's a difficult thing to go through, and just stay strong, and everybody you have the support. If I can be of support to anyone, you can put my information in there just for
Great.
questions or anything like that.
Okay, great. I will do that. I will share your contact info. Thanks for being willing.
Oh, no problem.
And thank you again for all that you've shared. I love getting to talk to you and getting to know you.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
We'd like to thank the Prolacta Bioscience Foundation for supporting the NICU Alumni Podcast. And we'd love to connect with you. We love hearing from you. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and on our website, www.nicualumni.org, where you can find helpful links and resources. And also donate directly to NICU Alumni to help support our mission. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you soon.